the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. You're right there, John?
Yeah.
Getting on. Getting on, are you?
Yeah.
So this is a really interesting portion of Scripture. There's literally several sermons in this portion of Scripture, but I'm afraid we only have time for one, and at that, it's a short one. So as Jesus basically boils it down in our text, mission will always take us into uncharted territory. As humans, we don't like that phrase. Uncharted territory makes us nervous. But as disciples of Christ, that is our calling this morning. We are called into uncharted territory for the sake of the gospel. The most striking point of this text for me is that Jesus did not tell his disciples to ask God for more harvest, but for more laborers. In the church, we often mistake the focus of our time, energy, on producing a bigger harvest. Focusing our time and energy on churning out more measurable results. Results that we can point to as evidence of our success. For example, we have a great hall hiring program here at Christchurch Melton, which after the COVID-19 pandemic emergency will expand, and it will be a great program. We hire out our car park on a weekly basis. And after the COVID-19 pandemic emergency, we have plans to have the best op shop in Melton, maybe the best op shop in the west of Victoria. Now, please don't get me wrong. In and of themselves, all these projects are good for the church. And at this time and this moment, they are very needed projects. But if we linger, if we focus just on these things, we could lose our way and begin to believe that it is up to us to produce the bountiful harvest. And too often we are seeking productivity when we should be seeking people. Because here's the big idea, the harvest is plentiful. God has already redeemed the world. What does John 3:16 tell us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has already redeemed the world. The battle has already been fought, and love has already won. The fruits of God's work in the world are for us to enjoy. They're ours to enjoy. We already have everything we need because every good and perfect gift has been offered to us by a loving and a gracious God. The church, which is you and me, has known this blessing, this blessed truth, for over 2,000 years. But many people in the world do not. Many people outside of these four walls do not know that blessed truth. As Jesus said, they are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So as the church, what we need to do, or what we need to be doing, is we need to be bringing these people in and inviting them to be part of the harvest with us. Inviting these people to work together and celebrate the feast, and feast on the fruits of God's saving work. Now, as a church, whatever we put our time, talent, and treasure towards, we should be asking ourselves, does this invite more labourers into the harvest? What we do, does it invite more labourers into the harvest? Does what we do, does what I do, does what you do, does it invite others to walk alongside in that risky and uncertain business of discipleship? It takes a great deal of courage, but like Jesus, let our courage be fueled by compassion. And let us go forth into a world joyfully, gathering more and more disciples to share in the harvest. And one of the most misunderstood words in all of the church is the word evangelism. And some of you just got a cold chill up your spine when you heard the word evangelism. That cold hand of fear gripped your heart. And, oh no, he's going to talk about evangelism. It's one of the scariest words in the church, isn't it?
Nope.
Well, I am going to talk about evangelism. But maybe not the way you might think about it, or the way that it's been scaring you for the last 40 years or so. So, in the time we have left, I want to look at the business of evangelism. I want to look at its theology. I want to look at its message. And I want to look at its method. Today, the stress is on the mechanism of evangelism rather than on the message. The technique of evangelism is the buzz phrase going around the church at the moment. You must have a welcoming team. You must have relevant services. And I agree with all that. That's probably true. But all these things are designed to access the inquiry into gospel acceptance. Evangelism then becomes a process dependent on the skill of the evangelist. Well, what happens if I'm not a good evangelist? Does that discount me? Am I discounted? Well, Jesus says no, because Jesus says pray to the Lord of the harvest for labourers. So the method, the mechanism of evangelism that we see today is not biblical evangelism. Our gospel passage gives us three insights into true biblical evangelism. The above mechanisms and marketing methodology may well build a strong institutional church, and that's good for promoting institutional survival. But methodology and mechanism will not build the kingdom of God. And that's what we're about. We're about building the kingdom of God, not an institution. Methodology and mechanism don't ask what is the gospel. Most times they don't even ask what the church is. They only think methodology and mechanism, which seeks to have a more effective technique. That's not biblical evangelism. So let's look at the business of what biblical evangelism is all about. First, let's have a look at the theology of evangelism. Theology of evangelism has one grand advantage. It forces us to begin with God. So the calling of the church, and that's you and me, we're the church. The calling of the church begins where theology begins. And theology begins with God, who calls and sends. And that's where Jesus begins. He says, therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into where? His harvest. The image of a harvest that's right and ready and ripe, and of the Lord sending out his labourers into his harvest, reminds us that the business of evangelism is the Lord's business. It's not ours. Evangelism is not the business of making converts, but rather gathering those who seek after the divine. On behalf of the Lord of the harvest, we but announce the way. We are signposts to the way, to those who await. Or we show the way to those who are searching. And we encourage the outsider to come inside. Evangelism is not the business of making converts, but rather gathering those who seek after the divine. Secondly, the message of evangelism is the gospel. So what is the gospel? Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 4, Paul summarizes the gospel message. He says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ Jesus, or Christ, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. The gospel is the biblical message of a crucified and a risen Saviour this morning. To call Jesus a Saviour is to say that we need to be saved. But saved from what? The answer Paul gives is Christ died for our sins. Our biggest problem this morning is our sin, our rebellion against God. God made us, we are accountable to him, The punishment we deserve for our rebellion is physical death and eternal punishment. This is why the gospel is a message of a crucified Saviour. Christ died for our sins. On the cross, Christ stood in the place of every Christian, bearing the wrath of God that they deserve. If you are a Christian here this morning, Jesus paid your debt. But that's not all. The gospel is the biblical message of a crucified and a risen Saviour. Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He's coming back again. And when we contend for the faith once entrusted to the saints, we aren't merely contending for the bloody cross this morning. We're contending for the empty tomb. Paul says he was raised on the third day. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart speaks the mouth. What's in your heart will be on your lips. And we must watch and keep and guard our hearts this morning. Unless you do this most basic work, then life-giving, evangelistic and gospel-centered words will never flow from your lips. Until your heart finds the gospel exhilarating and intoxicating, you won't find telling others about Jesus exhilarating or even intoxicating yourself. When it comes to evangelism, it's your heart that matters most, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus is risen from the dead, and because he's alive, I can also live under God's peace, and I can be God's friend for eternity. That's the gospel message this morning. And until we find that compelling, until we find that like a sweet taste in our mouth, then evangelism will always be like flossing your teeth. Who loves to floss their teeth? No one put their hand up at all. Flossing your teeth is horrible. It's horrible. And who wants to do that? Now, I've got a bunch of words here that I don't know whether it's an old hymn or whether it comes from the scriptures. Maybe I should have Googled and found out. But I have this old saying. It says, as the fountain, so be the streams. As the heart, so must be the mouth. The theology of evangelism begins with God. Secondly, the message of evangelism begins with the gospel. Thirdly, the message of evangelism is a method. There's a method to evangelism. And in verse 11 of their gospel text, Jesus tells us what the method is. Search for some worthy person. Search for some worthy person. Effective communication is the name of the game. We're to seek out the seekers. Search for some worthy person. Where they live, where they work, where they play. And in all those places, we're to communicate a gospel message to them. A message that is socially relevant. A message that is culturally relevant. Opposition, and compromise are a constant danger to us in this. But the supportive power of the Holy Spirit is always with us, Jesus tells us. However, here's the key. We can know the theology of evangelism, and we can know the message of evangelism, but unless we speak out of the abundance of our hearts, we will never, as Jesus said, search for some worthy person. That's the key. Solomon said these words in Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Until you treasure the gospel, it will never flow from your heart. Evangelism will always be like flossing teeth. My prayer is that Christ Church Melton will treasure the gospel, and it will flow from our hearts, and we will be those labourers that Jesus has prayed for. And in Jesus' name, we will be those who who are called into the harvest of this Melton district. Amen? To God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honour, glory, might, power, and dominion, now and forever. Amen.